Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to bring to your attention an important weekend that's coming up. The first weekend in April, April 5th and 6th, 2 days, that's Saturday and Sunday. So on the 5th of April, we have our annual church spring spruce up day. We invite you to be part of that. There's something for everybody. Maybe you're the kind of person who likes to get their hands in the soil. Maybe you're a painter or a scraper or a sheetrock finisher, or you just say, listen, I'll just help. That day is a day that we get so many things done here to be good stewards of the property that God has given us. So April 5th, that's a Saturday, and the 6th. April 6th is a significant date for two reasons. If you back up in the calendar to the time that Jesus rode in on a donkey to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, the original Palm Sunday on the calendar would be April the 6th of that year, whatever that year is, that Jesus did that. We're in a series called Generosity. And today, I'll just kind of maybe warn you, it's going to be a little different today. On the 6th of April, we're going to have a generous offering. And so I'm challenging you to go above and beyond that day. There's times in the church where we challenge ourselves with concentrated amounts of prayer and fasting, right? Good discipline. You want a church that prays and fasts. There's times where we focus on outreach and evangelism. Those are necessary to advance the kingdom. There's times where we put a strong emphasis on discipleship and on fellowship. Today is a fellowship day. There's times that you put emphasis on every one of the spiritual disciplines. On that day, I'm going to ask you just to pray about an above and beyond offering on that day. And we're just going to exercise our faith in the area of generosity. Amen? Amen? Okay. 2 Corinthians 9. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 9. Everybody say, today is going to be a little different. I've been warned. 2 Corinthians 9 says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God, who is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I love this scripture. A little background on it. There was a famine in Jerusalem, and the people, the church of Jerusalem, was in great need. Paul planted the church in Corinth, and we're reading his second letter to them, 2 Corinthians, to the church in Corinth. He had planted that church. He's appealed to the church in Corinth to receive an offering for those in Jerusalem, those believers in Jerusalem that are suffering. It was a challenging time. And he's talking to them about those who are suffering and helping with those who are in need. He reminds them of the principle of sowing and reaping. I want this for you. I want this for me. I want this for my kids. I'm in a new phase. I have 3 adult kids. I don't know how to do that. I want to tell them what to do all the time. But that runs real thin. So I'm suggesting things. Who's in the phase of suggesting things? I'm suggesting things. And I've found that I probably should suggest them more often when they ask. I'm learning, right? But I want this reality for my family. I want you to be wildly generous on every occasion, like the scripture says. And I was thinking this week about what are some obstacles that prevent us from being wildly generous. And I got a couple thoughts, and I'm going to share them with you right out of the Word. In the scripture that we just read, there are four realities. And I'll just, it's not a deep dive into this passage, but I want to share the four realities. Number one, the principle of sowing and reaping applies to everyone, both Christians and non-Christians. Number two, we reap what we sow. Right? Now, a lot of times we use that in a negative connotation, right? You're going to reap what you sow, man. I'm telling you right now. You're going to reap that. But we reap. If you plant corn, you're not going to get apples. If you plant apples, you're not going to get corn. If you plant okra, you're not going to get marijuana. Although the police thought my grandmother had a marijuana field in her backyard. She showed up at the house in Tallahassee, Florida. They wanted to see her garden, and it was big. Small farm would be a better term. My granddad was laughing because he knew exactly what was going on, and my grandmother didn't have a clue. Whatever you plant, whatever seed you sow, that's what will grow. So we reap what you sow, we reap what we sow, and we reap more than we sow. I want you to think about this. If you hold an apple, the potential inside that apple is not another apple. It is an orchard. Did you hear me? The potential inside that apple is an orchard. So we reap more than we sow, and we always reap later than we sow. I want you, I want this church to be like a Holy Spirit-filled farmer who I want you to sow greatly, and I want you to sow massive amount of seeds. Have you ever had a thought like this? Maybe you've had a thought like this. Man, I would love to do something about that, whatever that is, right? I would love to do something about that. I would love, we just had missionary Joel Marbot, right? He was here. I would love to fund the planting of a church in Ecuador all by myself. Man, the reality of the lost in Ecuador, trapped in sin and bondage, spinning down the deep, dark hole of eternity without Christ grips our hearts, choking back tears. We write a check for $3,500 by ourselves to plant a church. Here you go, missionary Joel Marbot. I can't go to Ecuador, but you're there. Go plant a church in Jesus' name. Or maybe you've had a thought like this. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were able to make room for the next generation of worshipers so that in the next 20 years, maybe when you're gone or I'm gone, there will be people here worshiping Christ Jesus with power. So, Pastor Lisa, I want to fully fund a new sound system for this auditorium. This one's lasted us 25 years. I'm going to invest. Hey, I'm not thinking small. Here's $40,000. Let's build a new sound system for worshipers for the next two decades. Or, hey, I think it's awesome what Life Church does in the area of feeding people every week. And I understand that we're bursting out of the seams in a walk-in cooler and freezer. And I hear that if we just had more cold storage and more deep freezer space, instead of serving 150,000 pounds of food, we could actually serve 300,000 pounds in a year. I think we could be situated to minister to foster families that have kids and single moms and widows and just people going through a tough time. We can help feed kids, Dr. Stewart, at Chuckville Elementary. And you know some of them on the weekend and when summer are at food deserts of no fault of their own. But man, think of the possibility. Here's a check for $75,000. Let's expand the walk-in cooler and freezer. Wouldn't that be awesome to have those thoughts and be able to stroke a check to accomplish and fulfill a need? I'm not trying to set you up and trick you. I'm just saying, wouldn't that be awesome? I think we need two things. We need a change to change a habit and to change a thought. Change a habit, change a thought. The first habit we need to change is we need to destroy debt. Destroy debt. We need to destroy debt. Debt is not your friend. I realize that there are some who leverage debt for investment. I realize that there are those who say, look, I can borrow at 8%, get a return of investment on 18% and net 10. I realize there are people who make business deals through cooperative efforts, through other investors in which they all have skin in the game. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about personal finances. The scripture says in Romans chapter 18, chapter 13, verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Owe no one anything. Proverbs 22:7 says this. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Everybody, let's read that together on the count of three. One, two, three. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I want you to be wildly generous. I want you to be generous. But in order to be generous, we've got to destroy debt. Because the debtor is enslaved to the lender. They're in bondage to the lender. And we have created a culture in which we've normalized massive, massive, massive amount of debt. And I do not see in the Word where that is God's best plan for us. I don't see in the Word where it's God's best plan for us. So here's some stats. Are you ready? Our national debt in our country is $36 billion. It is hard to wrap your brain around $36 trillion. Take that one down. We're not there yet. To pay back the national debt, I did a little math and a ton of research. So here we go. To pay back the national debt, if you started paying from the moment Jesus died on the cross, you would pay if you paid $44 million a day, you still wouldn't pay off the debt. That's not factoring interest. If you paid $2 million an hour from the time Jesus died on the cross up until now, $2 million an hour, not even talking about interest, you wouldn't pay off the national debt that we have in this country. We have normalized this. We have normalized this. The current national debt, let me encourage you for a moment. Means every person breathing in this country owes $106,000. Or the better statistic is every taxpayer owes $260,000. or the debt per household in this country on the national debt is $273,000. The interest alone on $36 trillion and some billion change. This year in 2025 is projected to be, the interest is projected to be $952 billion. And not, you haven't removed a penny of the principal. $952 billion, let's contextualize that. That's over $2.6 billion a day just for interest. And we've normalized this. The borrower slave to the lender. In 2025, this year, the interest alone will cost every American $2,800. Now you might say, well, not me. It's coming from somewhere, friend. $2,800 for everybody, including your baby that was just born. If you divide that by the tax base, that's $6,800 this year in interest alone. The lender is slave, the borrower is slave to the lender. So $6,800 you've got to earn if you file taxes to pay the interest alone on the national debt. Unless we change directions, in 10 years from now until 2035, per taxpayer per year, just for the interest. We're not talking about principal. We have normalized being in bondage. We have normalized it. And so the next time you hear some politician talking, and what they don't say is, we need to do something about the debt, you need to scream at them. They're spending your money, and they're binding us in debt. Some of that debt by the billions is to other countries. We're indebted to other countries by billions and billions of dollars. In the next 10 years, the interest alone on the national debt is projected to be $13.8 trillion. Just in interest. That's $40,500 a person in the next 10 years that you've got to come up with to pay interest on a loan. Now, I told you this would be different. It doesn't end all bad. Just stay with me. But there's some things that ought to upset us. All right, here's a question. Is this fair? Is it the right thing to do? This is not sustainable. It is not wise. It is irresponsible. And I would submit to you, it is not biblical. Debt is not from the Lord. The borrower is subject to the lender. Now, Brother Ramsey has helped me on this one a little bit. Skip the first screen and throw up the second one. So I don't think we've done a whole lot better as individuals across the country. And so here is the debt per household at the end of quarter number four, 2023. Too early to pull the stats for 2024. Total debt per household is $17.5 trillion. That's $179,850 per household, on average, in debt in this country. Credit card debt in this country is $19,800 a household. Student loan debt, $58,000 a household. Auto loan debt, $36,000 a household. Mortgage debt, $230,905 per household. Rich people say, how much does that cost? Broke people say, how much down and how much a month? Rich people say, how much does that cost? Broke people say, how much down and how much a month? So, on average, in our country, the average car payment for a new car is $742 a month. It's average. Those who buy a new car. That's an average loan of over $41,000 borrowing money to drive. $41,000 borrowing money to drive. Average interest rate, 6.35% on a new car. Average loan time frame is 68 months. 67.8 to be exact. With a total interest charge of $8,035 in interest alone to drive a car. In interest alone. Well, you might say, well, I don't buy new cars, I buy used cars. So in our country, the average used car note is $525. 11.62% interest. Over 67 months is the average loan amount, costing $9,600 in interest alone. In interest alone. Debt is not your friend. Debt is not your friend. Debt is not my friend. Last week we established that God owns it all and that we are managers of his money. I just have to wonder, is God pleased with how much money his children are spending on avoidable interest? And I found a video that I think really will help us this morning. Let's play the video.
I just can't get these numbers to add up.
It's like we're never gonna get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh. Then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
I thought I'd lighten it up a little bit. My wife told me last night, you seem a little aggressive in your presentation. You might want to temper it down, Tim. I was practicing on her last night. According to the Knowledge Group, The average American over the age of 50 in our country will make $1.85 million over their lifetime between age 20 and age 69. Over a lifetime. I want us to start thinking about the big picture rather than the small picture. I would love for us to start thinking about decades rather than months, right? So the average American, 50 and over, in our country will make in their lifetime $1.85 million. Self-Financial Incorporated, which is a financial technology company, I think they're Finnish, but they offer credit building solutions, says this: the average American will pay in their lifetime $649,000 of interest in their lifetime. 89% of that is mortgage interest. So the average American, if you're average and you're going to make $1.85 million in your lifetime, and you're average and you pay $649,000 of interest over your lifetime, you just spent 35% of your lifetime income borrowing money. That's a staggering statistic, isn't it? It's a staggering. But we have so normalized this that thoughts that are different than that seem so different. It seems like a foreign language. So I ran some numbers, and if 89% of the $649,000 of lifetime interest over the debt is on a mortgage, that means 11% is not on a mortgage. So let's just assume that it is healthy to have a 30-year mortgage and spend three times the value of the home that you have to pay in interest. Let's just assume for a moment that that's normal. That leaves 11%. The other 11% were three categories. Of the $649,000 of lifetime debt, excuse me, lifetime interest, three categories remain besides mortgage. Here they are: car loans, student loans, and credit card loans. Car loans, student loans, credit card loans. That totals a little bit over $71,000 of car loan interest, student loan interest, and credit card interest. And if you want all the breakdowns, I can give them to you, but I think I'm throwing too many numbers at you already. So I said, okay, what if we said, all right, I'm doing a 30-year mortgage. I'm not going to do student loan debt. I'm not going to do credit card debt, and I'm not going to do car loan interest debt. Instead, in my lifetime, over the 50-year span of which I'm projected to make $1.85 million in my lifetime, instead of giving that 11% of interest away, I'm going to take that $71,000 over a 50-year and drop it into the S&P 500, which is the top 500 stocks on the market. I'm going to drop it into an IRA on the stock market, and I'm going to let it sit. It's going to earn, on average, a little more than 10% over the last 50 years. You can run the numbers yourself. So if I take that money, it equals $119 a month, and I invest it into an S&P 500 IRA at the end of 50 years. Instead of spending $71,397 on interest for someone else, guess how much you have in your retirement? You're a multimillionaire, over $2 million. Now, here's a thought. What if we had the mindset of lifelong, big picture at our finances, and we had a little bit of delayed gratification, and we could do that. Now, for some of us, honestly, that 50-year window is we're past the start point. But if you're 20 in this room, you want to be a multimillionaire, all you need is 50 years and $119 a month. But you're going to have to get it from somewhere. I would suggest that if you just decided, I'm going to scrap every penny, I'm going to eat beans and rice, I'm not paying interest on student loans, I'm going to come up with another plan. I'm not going to borrow money from a car and pay interest. I'm just not doing that. I am not paying credit card fees over my lifetime. I'm not going to do it. And you invested that money, you're worth $2 million just by flipping the script on that one. And sometimes I wonder if we're looking at it the wrong way. Proverbs 6:5 says this. When it talks about paying people back, it says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, like a bird from the snare of a fowler. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter. The Bible compares debt indebtedness to a gazelle being hunted. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. You ever seen the videos online of the flock, the big old pack of wild animals? And gazelles are fun because they kind of just like leap and they're like 10 feet. Like they have this springs in their legs. And once in a while you'll see, look, I know everybody's got to eat. But you see that cheetah crouched down in the grass. You're like, oh, Lord, not today, not today. And all the cheetahs watching the video go, come on, daddy, bring home some dinner. But all the, oh, not, don't get that gazelle, right? And all of a sudden, right, it takes off, chasing the pack, and one of them's going to hang a right, everybody goes left. And you go, oh, man, it's on like Donkey Kong. It's going to happen right here. I can't hardly watch it. And that gazelle, what does the gazelle do? They are twisting. Now, a cheetah can run really fast in a straight line, but if you hang a hard right, It'll roll itself. Gazelle has the ability to bounce. You'll see them bouncing and jumping in every direction. You'll see them leaping. Oh, they can leap. Man, they can leap over that screen almost. They just leap and bound. They're running for their life. That's what the Bible says we're to do, paying off our debtors. That we should free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, like a bird from the snare of fowler. We put out a spider trap in our yard, in our garage, because my wife found a spider outside. And so in order to keep us all from dying, what I had to do was get about 75 spider traps. I'm exaggerating a little bit. Not much, but a little. So I put one outside the back door so we wouldn't all die. And I could have dinner at night. And I feel horrible. You know those sticky things that crawl up on there? And a bird got on one. I know. It was horrible. And the more he tried, the worse it got. I went out there and tried to pick one. Those, I mean, you can hardly get them off your hands. Then their whole wing's on there. We're like, oh, my gosh. So then we're like, how are we going to save this thing? Now, it was worn, absolutely worn out. So at some point, you just have nothing. You're just like, all right, if you're going to eat me, I can't do nothing. So we got it, and we're trying to free the thing without ripping its wings off so it could fly, you know. But that thing was flapping, going crazy, doing everything it could. It was pecking at its own beak. It was clawing. It was fighting. It was flopping. It was like a bird from the snare of fowler. We should claw, bite, chew. I want you to get to the place this morning as a church that we despise debt. We despise personal debt. What does the gazelle do when it's being pursued by a hunter? It runs. from debt. New habit, to be wildly generous, destroy debt. New thought, to be wildly generous, reject poverty. Reject poverty. Proverbs 21:20 says this, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. My granddaddy used to call it burning a hole in your pocket. You know what I mean? You get $5 to the kid, you're like, I'm going down to the store right now. Buy me a toy. I'd collect bottles on the side of the road and get 10 cents a bottle. That would be like a buck now. Like, they did the Coke bottles, you know, you're maybe 50-something. Like, you get 10 cents, man. You could get, like, two things at 7-Eleven for 10 cents. A big one and a little one, like a candy bar and a piece of gum. Wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Stop thinking like a broke person and start thinking like a debt-free, blessed person. Rich people ask, how much does that cost? Poor people or broke people say, how much down and how much a month? So, if I haven't already upset you enough, here we go, here's another one. Sometimes I wonder, and I don't know, maybe I'm being judged. Pray for me. I don't know. I'm wondering. I see people online, and they get a car. Now, if you got a car, you bought a car recently, I'm not picking on you. These are broad numbers. You get a car, and they're like, look at my new ride, right? I walked into the dealership with only $525 budget, and look what God did. Hashtag blessed. I didn't think I could afford it, but God made a way. God's able. And I borrowed $26,468, 11.62% over 67 months, and paid $9,600 of interest. And I'm just suggesting to you, I know I'm out on the edge here, that maybe that's not a blessing. I'm just suggesting to you that maybe signing off on $9,600 of interest for a car is not actually being blessed, but it might be bondage. I'm just suggesting that. That maybe if we looked at it a different way, did God do that? Or were somehow we are so enamored with debt is a constant and it's always going to be, and you just pay the piper $649,000 of your lifetime income, go ahead and write it off to interest. I'm just suggesting that maybe, just maybe God could have something better for us all. A poverty mindset keeps us in debt because poverty mindset thinks small. Poverty mindset thinks, what do I need to get by on? A blessed mindset thinks, how can I be a good steward? A poverty mindset says, what's it going to take for me to pay the bills? A blessed mindset says, how can I overcome and sow some seed and be blessed to be a blessing? We've got to break the poverty mentality that says, listen, I'm just going to get by. Here's what Proverbs 19:17 says. If you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord. Now, if I'm going to lend money to anybody, I think Jesus is a pretty safe bet. Some of y'all are mad at me, I can tell. Don't be mad at me. I'm going to help you before we get out of here. If you lend to the poor, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and He will repay you. Here's what happens, I think. Many of us want to be generous, and we want to give. But we're so shackled with this that 35% of our income we've just written off as lifetime debt. And I'm just suggesting that if we would think differently and look at the Word, that God could help us, look, to flip that just a little. to help us. We are managers of his resources. We are stewards of his. We establish is not ours. So you say, what's the alternative, right? God says if you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord. And God pays back a great rate of return. God wants you blessed. God wants you to walk in provision. I think we have to be very careful when we use the word prosperity. It's a loaded word, I know, because it has been abused, it has been misrepresented, it has been manipulated. But simply prosperity is enough for you and some extra. It's enough for you and some extra. It's enough to take care of your needs and some extra. It might be that you are independently wealthy, but it's not necessarily. Biblical prosperity is enough for you and some extra. Enough to meet your needs and some extra. A poverty mind says, what can I afford? A blessed mentality says, what's the best way to spend the money? Let's go back to the first scripture, 2 Corinthians 9. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The problem is that America is eating its own seed. Remember the apple? The apple doesn't represent another apple. It represents an orchard. Inside that apple is a potential for an orchard, right? But what does it require? Someone to not eat it, right? Pull the seed out and sow the seed. The principle is for everybody, right? The sower always gets more than they sow, and the sower, the harvest is always significantly after the seed is sown. So inside the apple is a potential for an orchard, but if I eat that apple, let's assume I eat the seeds. My son did that one time when he was little. He didn't know. He said, Mama said, hey, where's the rest of the apple? And he gave her a little stem. He's like three. I know, where's the rest of the apple? He just gave it a little stem. He'd eat the whole thing. We didn't tell him he was supposed to eat around it. And anyways, he ate the whole seed, right? He ate all of it. Let's pretend for a moment that's what we do with the apple. The alternative is that we don't eat our seed and we have some for sowing. Seed doesn't develop overnight. It takes time to grow. Worship team, come on. It's time, we got somebody on the screen. It's time to get mad enough to change. I want you to be mad enough to change. I want to create new thoughts on generosity. New habit, destroy debt. New thought, reject small thinking, reject poverty mentality. Think you like you are blessed. God wants you to be generous on every occasion. But if we're paying 35% of our lifetime income to interest, I'm just suggesting that there's another way. So let's just start with the 11% that's not a mortgage. And some of you are like, I would love a mortgage right now. Let's just start with the 11%. Now, I didn't make this up. I pulled it from Brother Ramsey. Throw it up on the screen. Step number one, create an emergency fund. This will help you. Create an emergency fund. Scrap every penny you can and save $1,000 and don't touch it. Scrap every penny you can and save $1,000 and don't touch it. You ain't getting your nails done. You ain't getting your hair done. You ain't going out to eat. You're not going on vacation. You're not driving across town to do window shopping to burn up gas. You're scrapping every penny you can, and you're getting $1,000 in an emergency fund. Because guess what? At some point, the car needs tires. Guess what? At some point, the Freon in your air conditioner is probably going to need refilling. Guess what? You're going to have something to expend. Step number two. Create a SNET. a debt snowball. I'm not the author of this. Brother Ramsey is. Where you pay off all debt except the house. You're paying off all the debt. Step number two. Pay off all the debt except the house. Here's what you do. Get all your short-term debt. All of it. Regardless of the interest rate, you get all of it. Credit cards, student loans. You were just a sucker and bought some furniture and making payments on it. You decide to buy a 70-inch TV and put it on a credit card. I think Ramsey calls that a stupid tax. We're gonna pay off the stupid tax and be done with it. We're going to line all the debt up, right? Step number one in the snowball, list all your debts from smallest to largest. Smallest first. Make the minimum payments on all your debt except the smallest loan. And you are scrapping every penny you can. You are all out war on this debt. You're not on vacation. You can't afford vacation. You're broke. You ain't getting your nails done. You're broke. You ain't doing self-care day, getting a facial and a massage and going down the... You are broke. You are broke. Quit doing this to yourself. Line them up. Pay them off. Pay off the smallest one first. What you do, cross it off or do the happy dance. And take all that money you're paying on the minimum payment plus from the small loan and pile it onto the next one. And you're snowballing it. You're scrapping every penny. You don't have money for stuff. You are broke. You ain't going out to eat. You are broke. Are we going to do this to ourselves forever? Are we? We're going to break out of this thing. So we roll that. Then we do the third one, right? Take the extra money. Number three, as you can, and put on your smallest debt until it's gone. Then take whatever, number four, you are paying on your smallest debt, add it to that payment, to the next smallest debt, till it's gone. Number five, does it even fit on the screen? It's the very bottom. Repeat until each debt is fully paid and you're completely debt-free. You're scrapping every... You are so mad at this debt. You're like a gazelle trying to get away from a hunter. You're like a bird trying to get out of a snare. You are clawing and scrapping and, you know, you are doing everything you possibly can. And guess what? You are free from all short-term debt. You're free. Step number three, and we'll stop there. You take your emergency fund and you move it from $1,000 to 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Now you have a real emergency fund. You take all that money that you are fighting and scrapping, and you're doing yard sales, you're selling stuff, you're selling the ATV, you're selling the boat. Come on, you're selling stuff, right? Because you're getting out of debt. Because you got a higher calling, man. Because you're going to be blessed. You're going to be debt-free. You're doing everything you can. Once you do that, then you're rolling all that money to create a 3 to 6 months emergency fund. Guess what? When the roof needs to be replaced, you don't have to get a $20,000 line of credit. You got a little bit of money in the bank. Guess what? Uh-oh. Cracking the block of the engine. That's going to set me back $6,000. Guess what? You don't have to get a loan. You got a little money set aside for what? An emergency, because life happens. I want us to change one habit and have one new thought. Destroy debt. Destroy debt. Debt is not our friend. Debt is not our friend. That is not destroy debt. Look, some of us, when we think of the reality of where we're at, it can be discouraging. But look, there's hope, man. You can do this. You can do this. You can absolutely do this. You can reverse that trend. You can flip the script. You don't have to buy in to some, you know, the people that are offering the loans? You know where they're on the other side of that interest rate. They are. Every time you swipe that debit card, there's like seven charges that happen. One of them is like this minuscule, like 3 cent charge. I don't need somebody to give me $1 million. I just need 1 million people to give me 3 cents a day. Or how about 2 or 3 times a day? Listen, you can overcome this. You can get on the other side of it. You can do this. You do not have to be, you don't have to be like this, man. You don't. Is it easy? I don't think it's easy, because if it's easy, everybody knew it. Is it possible? It is possible. You can do this. And then guess what? Instead of paying all that interest to somebody else, your heart's stirred for a need, you're like, guess what? Here's $3,000. Plant a church in Ecuador. Hallelujah. Don't have any short-term debt. You can do this. Don't buy into that deal that you've got to take on $40,000 of student loans just to figure out what major you're going to have. Don't do that. Listen to your old pastor. For the love, please don't do that. Because here's what happens. She decides she's going to school. She's going to go somewhere nice, but she's going to do it right. So she ends up with $40,000, $50,000 student loans. Guess what? He does the same thing. Boy meets girl. They got $100,000 student loans. Well, of course, every sophomore gets credit card offers in their box in college. Don't tell my kids they come to the house every week. I ain't telling them. I ain't telling them. I shred them. Well, you gotta have a dress for the formal, and you gotta, and now you graduate with about $3,500 credit card debt. So does he, because he got to get season tickets to the ball games, and so now you got $7,000 credit card bills. You're paying the minimum payment. You got $100,000 student loans, and God knows everybody's got to have a car. We met a kid when we went to visit North Point. Jamie, you remember this? My heart broke for this kid. He felt as if God was calling him to the ministry. But no one helped him along the way. So what did he do? He went to Bible college. I can tell you the school he went to. He told us. He racked up $100,000 of student loans. Well, he finished that, and he just needed some direction in his life concerning leadership. So he went to a prominent church. And it wasn't a formal education. It was an informal leadership training school, and borrowed another $15,000 to attend that. So now he has like $117,000 of student loans. And he took us to lunch because he's in charge of wining and dining the new people, checking it out. And it's a low-budget Bible college, so we went to, I think, where do we go? Panda Express. Nothing wrong with Panda Express. We went to Panda Express. He rolls in with a brand new red shiny four-door Jeep, like an SUV. And he's like, yep, I figured since I'm done with school, time to get my dream car. I thought this guy's joking. Surely he's joking. No one told him what I'm telling you. And I thought, this kid ain't going to full-time nothing. He's got $125,000 of debt, and he's got a job probably making about $50,000 a year. Maybe. We have normalized this. Don't believe the lie. Do not believe the lie. Do not normalize. Do not strap yourself with this. Bite, scrap, bite, peck, kick your way out of this. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Because God wants you to sow seed into the kingdom. Not sow seed to make some guy on the 72nd floor a multimillionaire at some high rise. You can do this. I believe it's God's plan for your life. I believe it's scriptural. And I believe he's going to anoint us to do it. Do you still love your pastor? Do you love me? I want to help you. if you got short-term debt, you can't afford Starbucks, you can't afford to get your nails done, you're not going out to eat, you're in debt. You don't have no money. You owe money. Your balance has a negative before it. You are negative balance. You are in debt. You are scrapping your way out of. What did Ramsey say? Eat beans and rice. You are not eating T-bone. You're eating beans, rice, rump. You're going to the grocery line for groceries that the church is going to help you with. You're going to cook that all week. You're not going to Gulf Shores. You're not doing a night. I'm trying to help you. I want you free. All right, I'm about done. Some of you are like, I'm glad he's done. I can take no more of this. We have a goal. And I'll just be transparent about our goal and how we're doing. Our oldest son was super blessed with a high level of intellect. Scored a high on ACT. He worked his tail off. He tutored for 6 months. Took that thing 4 times. Got a full ride to UAB. He graduated debt-free with a car that was paid for. It was a junker. It was a Corolla. Had 170,000 miles on it. Dent in the front and the back. The headlights worked, but they could hardly see them because they were all milky, right? But he didn't have no debt. Check. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm thankful for that. But I'm telling you, it's because there was some work. Number two, our son Zach. Our goal, God help us. God, if you will help us, we want to send him off debt-free. That kid worked his tail off. He mowed the yard out here. He worked at Bucky's 45, 50 hours a week. In 2023, he worked every single major holiday on the calendar. You know why? Because Bucky's pays 2 times. On Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and Thanksgiving Day. He said, I'll work all of them. He'd come home on break. He scrapped and saved. He will graduate Bible college. Not $125,000 in debt like that poor kid that no one told him, debt-free. Then we got Macy. Now, this has been a little more challenging. I can tell you, it's better to be, this sounds negative, I don't mean it to. Please, she's sharp, she's smart. But it's better to be smart than fast when it comes to scholarships. It's better to be smart than fast. Unless you're fast with a football, and then it don't matter how dumb you is. It don't matter. So there's been a little challenge there. And she's worked and scrapped, and she's worked her tail off. She was second in the nation in the NAIA 800 meter. She's on a significant scholarship at the university she goes to, but it ain't everything. There's some gap in there. So we're working on that. One thing we don't want to do, and please do not feel like I'm throwing stones, but I look at Jamie and say, Jamie, we can't. Are we going to send her down the aisle? And said, here's our most valuable possession. I hope that you'll take care of her like her mom and daddy did. I tell you, son, we love her more than you can imagine. You better not hurt her. I'll probably get fired if you do. Here she is. By the way, she has $70,000 of debt. You now just inherited that, son. Here's her $70,000 of debt. Here she is. You see what I'm saying? We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that. You don't want that. Get so mad at debt, you're going to do everything you can. Would you stand up all over the place? Would you stand up all over the place? I told you it'd be different. Now in a minute, we're going to laugh and fellowship and eat some potluck together, and I hope you'll stay. I want us to end this way. You're here, and there's 2 things we're going to pray for. Number one, you are discouraged when it comes to your personal finances, and you sure could use some Holy Spirit encouragement. you hear this stuff and you say, okay, Pastor, that makes sense to me, but man, how about just somebody encouraging me for a minute? Let me encourage you. You can do this. You can do this. You don't have to live like everybody else. You don't have to, don't swallow that pill. You can do this. And you know what I believe? I believe there's an anointing to obey every command. Right? And that God, could it be that God would anoint you to get out of short-term debt? Could it be that the power of the Holy Spirit would rise up inside of you to not just think differently, but act, but have that, oh man, I'm gonna do this. You're discouraged, you need encouragement. Number two, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I would be able to look at debt like the Bible does and get mad enough to do something about it? Pastor, would you agree with me in prayer that I would be debt-free? Debt-free. That I wouldn't pay $649,000 of my lifetime earnings towards interest. And $72,000 of that is credit card, car, and student loans. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to do everything I can. Pastor, would you pray for me? Because that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want that for me, for my family. That's what I want. I'm tired of paying somebody else's bills with interest. I want to break free from that. And that's you today. I want to pray for you. So in a moment, I told you this would be different. Here's how we're going to end. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me about my money? I'm discouraged. Pastor, would you pray for me that God would anoint me to become debt free? I believe there's an anointing in the house for that. I believe there's an anointing in the house for that. I believe there's an anointing in the house for that.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.